Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. You guys are so kind standing up. You don't need to stand up for me. You know, why don't you turn before you're seated again? Why don't you turn to a couple of people around you, give them a handshake, a high five again. Somebody you didn't already do it, and greet them. And then you can be seated. Man, as Pastor Dan was sharing just now of some of our history, I sit in my seat and I think to myself, man, time flies. Has it really been that long? And I'll tell you what, it took a lot of prayer to get Pastor, and a lot of counseling to get Pastor Dan where he is today. I really had to work hard at that. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, he pastored me. Actually, he has for a number of years, long before he became the senior pastor here. And I'm just really grateful for my relationship with him and our founding pastors, Pastor Luke as well. And Pastor Dan, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be able to share the word of God. It's truly an honor here at The Rock and really anywhere, at any venue, any place, any time to share the word of God. It is truly an honor. So anyways, enough about me, enough about that. Let's go ahead and pray and then we can jump into the word of God. Amen. Father God, we come before you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for God, specifically today, your word. God, your holy, precious written word. God, we thank you today because it has everything that we need for living our lives. And it has the power, Lord, to transform our lives. God, we ask today that you would help us to open up our hearts and to open up our minds with the spirit of meekness to receive, Lord, that which you want to implant. And we thank you, Lord, that it's going to bring forth fruit. Lord, do things in our lives, Lord, that no other power can do. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name for all that you accomplish. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, if you brought your Bibles tonight, I want to take you to a little bit of an unorthodox place for me, and that is to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, and we're going to read a couple of verses here, verses 9 and 10. The reason why I say it's a little unorthodox for me is because I'm a New Testament guy. In fact, I teach New Testament survey here at the Rock Bible College, and I like to live over there, and so, and don't get me wrong, it's all the Word of God. It is all anointed. It all has the power and the ability to change your life and do exactly what God needs it to do. Amen. And so we're not picking and choosing tonight, but 1 Chronicles, and the reason why we're going there is because in my own personal time, I've been kind of brushing up on the Old Testament and kind of looking through, and God's been speaking to me through it. And so I wanted to share with you tonight something that God has shared with me and something that has blessed me. Now, let me just, before we read these couple of verses, let me just say this about Chronicles. If you've ever read Chronicles, you know that the first 9 chapters of Chronicles are like one big long list of genealogy. We're talking one name after the next name, so-and-so begot so-and-so, who begot so-and-so, who begot so-and-so. In other words, Abraham begot Isaac, who begot Jacob and Esau, and Jacob became Israel, and Israel begot 12 sons, and they were Joseph and Benjamin, and so on and so forth. And listen, y'all, some of these chapters are 40, 50, in fact, chapter 6 is 81 verses long. And I'm thinking to myself, God, why did you write this down? And what does this have to do with my life? Has anybody ever read the Word of God and felt that way? Well, you're not alone. Us pastors and ministers and theologians and Bible graduates, we all feel that way from time to time. But how many of you know today that God, he doesn't waste a word. He doesn't waste our time, and he has something to say. And so for me in Chronicles, as I'm reading through this big, long list of genealogy, name after name after name, and I think, oh God, please help me to get something out of my daily reading today. For me, there's these names, there's these individuals that the Bible takes a time out in the middle of the genealogy to tell you a little something about. It's like the Bible takes a time out to make some special notation and some special mention about a particular individual that it just listed. It's almost as though God is like, you know what? I can't just list this person's name. I have to tell some of the story because it's too good to pass up. Do you follow me today? And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning with verse number 9, we find a man by the name of Jabez. And Jabez is one who stood out from among the rest. Let's read it together. Verse number 9 says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.'" What a wonderful name, and what a wonderful way to be remembered. Son of my pain. Whoa, better watch it. All right. "And Jabez," I love this next part. It says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed.'" I like that. "And enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil so that it may not cause pain." And the next phrase is amazing. It says, "So God granted him what he requested." Isn't that awesome tonight? I wonder if I have any people in the house like Jabez who say, "Oh God, that you would bless me indeed. God, that you would enlarge my territory. Oh God, that your hand would be with me all the days of my life, that you would keep me from evil so that I wouldn't cause pain." I see a few hands. All right. A few people. I know I've come to the right place because we've got at least a few people in the house like Jabez. And by the end of tonight, what I want to do is I want to encourage you to begin to develop a heart like Jabez, who says, "I'm unwilling to settle. I'm unwilling to just kind of do life like everybody else." You see, when I read this list of names, just one after the other, and all of a sudden this one that stands out, my heart says, "You know what, God? I want to be like this one who stood out. I want to be the one that you bless. I want to be the one whom you enlarge that, my territory, that your hand is with me, God, that you would keep me. I want to be like this." Not because I want to be better than the person next to me, better than the people that have gone before me, better than people that come after me, but because I don't want to be just another name in the scrolls of history. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And for me, Jabez calls to me, and Jabez challenges me to, "Hey, have you accepted the status quo? Have you accepted the norm? Have you chosen average? Have you chosen ordinary? Because God has so much more for each and every person in the house." So tonight, I want to talk to you about living the extraordinary life. Living the extraordinary life. Again, God, all of us should have a heart like Jabez. God has called each and every one of us to an extraordinary life. You know, look at the book of Acts, and here we go to the New Testament. I knew I would get there some way or somehow, right? This is my thing. New Testament, you look at the book of Acts, and the book of Acts, what is it a story of? It's a story of an extravagant, of an extraordinary church doing extraordinary things. I mean, there's just no way of getting around it. You can't read that book and not at some point in time be like, "Wow, did that really happen? Let me read that again. Is that really what God has in store?" And it is. And the interesting thing about the book of Acts is that it's unlike the other books in the New Testament in that it doesn't have an end. There's no farewell to the book of Acts. There's no closing statement. There's no goodbye. It's just kind of this story that it just stops. It's kind of like the movie or the TV show that you watch and you're like, "Ooh, this has been so good. It's about to get even gooder." I know that's not proper English, but it's about to get even gooder. And then all of a sudden, to be continued. You're like, "No! What happened?" Right. Anybody seen some of the Marvel movies lately and it ends and you're like, "Oh man, there better be a trailer after these, after these credits." And that's what the book of Acts is about. And many have seen over the years that what God was saying is, "Hey, I created an extraordinary church and my intention is that their extraordinary acts would continue, not just from the beginning and stop there when the apostles died, but it would continue until the day I come back." Hello, somebody. That's you and me. I mean, have we really accepted a belief that God would start an extraordinary church only to come back for a mediocre one? What has happened over, and I'm not talking to anybody here because this is the Rock Church or World Outreach Center, and by God, this is a powerful, on fire church. It has always been and will always be. But I just want to make sure that all of us are in the different areas of our life are not slipping into any kind of complacency where we've kind of accepted, you know what, this is just how life is going to be. I'm going to live life like everybody else in the world. I have my nice car. I have my nice house. I have the white picket fence. Well, that's good enough for me. My friend, you don't have to settle. God doesn't want you to settle. He has an extravagant life for you and for me. And here's here's really where it lands. It's really your call and it's really your choice. It's really my call and it's really my choice what kind of life that we're going to live. It's up to us. God promised us, but you know what? God's not going to make any of us do anything that we don't want to do. We're going to have to take God's promise and we're going to have to go after God's promise, as I believe that Jabez did. Let me just put it to you like this and then we'll move on. It's been said this way to me over the years and I've remembered and I think it's good to be said tonight. Either you can live saved or you can live called. Hello, somebody. Either you can live a life where, hey, a little church will do you, a little Jesus will do you, you know, I made it to heaven, or you can live the extravagant, the extraordinary life that God has for you. I don't know about you, but once again, I want to see God do great things in my life, and I want to see God do great things through my life. I want to see some people healed along the way. I want to see some people saved along the way. I want to see some people delivered along the way, not just after Pastor Dan prays for them, but after I pray for them. Come on, somebody. I want to see the move of the Spirit in and through my life. Of course, after Pastor Dan prays for them, but me too. As it should be with all of us, an extraordinary life. Okay? So when I read 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, I see a man who is unwilling to settle for less than what God had. Perhaps, and let me make this point, another point before we move on, perhaps this is because at an early age, he found that life had nothing to offer apart from God except for a painful experience. Right, what does verse number 9 say? Look again, you're still there, right? 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9, it says that his mom named him, called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Once again, what does life have to offer you outside of God? A painful experience. He caused his mom pain, and then he was named for the pain that he caused his mom and for the rest of his life. In fact, we are still here in 2018 in San Bernardino talking about the pain that Jabez caused his mom. A painful, maybe somehow through natural circumstances, Jabez realized, hey, life apart from God is really a painful experience. So today, how to live the extraordinary life. Number one, know that you're called to the extraordinary. We've kind of already said this just a little bit already, and we've talked about, you know, what God intended in the book of Acts, but you've got to know that you, every person, in fact, under the sound of my voice, you've been called to an extraordinary life. And I think that sometimes we look at these stories in the Bible and we see these great men and these great women of God accomplish extraordinary things and we come to the conclusion, well, it must be, they must have something special about them and that's why they lived the extraordinary life, right? Right? I mean, what virtue, what thing do they have going for them? You know, the extraordinary, that's for the special people. Maybe today you have, you know, godly role models. You know, for me, I know Pastor Jim doesn't want to hear this, but Pastor Jim is one of my role models. He's one of my heroes. And sometimes we look at people, Pastor Dan is one of my heroes. And sometimes Pastor Jessica, and sometimes we look at these people and we think, oh man, how could I, they must have something special happening in their life. And that's why they live the extraordinary life. That they live, and that's why they accomplish what they do for God. But when you look at Chronicles and you look at Jabez and you ask that question, what was special about him? Tonight I want to submit to you, not very much. Jabez was an average person just like you and just like me. I mean, once again, we've already talked about the pain that he caused his mom. He was remembered for this pain. Right? He wasn't remembered for his great strength. He wasn't named after his incredible intellect. He wasn't named after his, you know, incredible education or his ability to make money, right? There's other people in the Bible who are remembered for these things. Solomon and his great wealth, you know, Samson and his great might, right? Paul and his great education and wisdom. There's other people but Jabez, well, he caused his mom some pain. Right? In other words, he was an average individual just like you and just like me. But again, we think, oh, in order to accomplish or in order to see an extraordinary life happen in my life, well, I have to be special and I'm really not special. You know, just the other day, it's kind of funny, I was back over here in our music room. I was having a conversation with my assistant about the worship ministry, and we have these little pastries back there that we provide the worship team, and so I'm eating one of these pastries, while we're talking about the worship team. And Trey, did I see Trey? Is he, oh, right there, Trey. You all know Trey. Trey is hilarious. Trey is tons of fun. And you know what? Trey is really an encourager. And so I'm sitting there having this conversation, and I'm eating this this pastry, and Trey walks out of the video room right in front of me. And before I tell you what he said, let me just give you a little backstory. I've been weightlifting. I've been in the gym for about 3.5 months, and I've seen some pretty good gains. You might not be able to tell, but this is my business, all right? But I had a short sleeve shirt on, and I'm eating this thing, so my bicep is flexing. And Trey walks out and goes, "Ooh, Pastor Joe, look at that bicep." And I was like, and I felt so good about myself for about 1 second. And I said, "Thank you, Trey." And then I turned over to the right, and there's Jared sitting looking at, where are you at? Are you in the back? You know, Jared, he plays our keyboard. He's like 3 times my size. He's like a specimen of a man. He's like, "Yeah, nice bicep, Pastor Joe." I'm like, I quit. Right? And it's these kinds of feelings that causes us to disqualify ourselves when it comes to the extraordinary life. We see the success of others, the talents of others, the giftings of others. You know, can we just be honest about it tonight? There will always be somebody who's further along than you are. But that doesn't mean that you're not called. That doesn't mean that you're not gifted. That doesn't mean that you're not talented or that God doesn't have a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life, and it is an extraordinary one, both in and through you. And so the good news tonight, and I love this verse, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 26. It says this. It says that you see your calling, brethren, okay? That not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world, but to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world, but to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things and the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. I wonder, do I have any foolish people in the house? Do I have any are-nots in the house? Do I have any people who have some inadequacies and some deficiencies? You are a prime candidate to be used by God. Paul the Apostle said this. He said, "Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. So today, you've got to know that you're called to an extraordinary life. God has called you, each and every person, young and old. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your ethnicity, your upbringing, what's happened to you up until this point. There's an extraordinary life awaiting you if you'll get a hold of these principles tonight. Number two, how to live an extraordinary life. Number two is this: let God's promises be your guide. Now let me back up just a moment, and let me say this about Jabez. In fact, let's read verse number 10 again. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 10. It says this. It says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil so that it may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." I think it's important that before we really dive into this point here about God's promises being your guide, that we make this note about Jabez, that Jabez called upon the God that answers prayer. Jabez sought the God that answers prayer. That's really important for you and I to see and to understand in our lives today. You know, we live in a day and age where, because of technology and because of media, you can turn to anything and anyone. I mean, at the blink of an eye, when in your time of need, hello, somebody. And I think that we often do that. Our first place to run is not to God. Our first place to run is not to the Word of God. Our first place to run is not to our knees. There's an old song that says, "Oh, what needless pain we bear. It's all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And I think that Jabez teaches us a lesson that in our time of need, we need to seek out the God who answers prayer. You know, you compare and contrast. Compare and contrast Jabez, for example, with King Saul. And King Saul, the Bible says he was in a time of need. The Philistines had gathered to make war and to take him out. And the Bible says that King Saul did not inquire of the Lord. Actually, King Saul went ahead and inquired of a witch. And it didn't turn out too well. All right, it actually led to his demise. And the important thing that we need to understand today is that before we turn to all this other stuff that's made available through technology and social media and all these things, we need to begin to seek the God that answers prayer. And so Jabez is commendable because he did just that. He sought God, and God is a God who answers prayer. Come on, somebody. We need this truth built deep into our hearts that God is a God who answers prayer. Over and over again, this theme is affirmed throughout Scripture. You know, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. And if that wasn't good enough, it goes on to repeat itself, for whoever asks receives. Are you a whoever tonight? Then if you ask, you'll receive. Whoever seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. It's God's good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's God's good pleasure to give you the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says that God is so generous in his giving, he didn't withhold his own son. And if he didn't withhold his own son, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8, verse number 32. God is a God who answers prayer. In fact, this last year, God answered a couple of my prayers so quickly, I thought, oh my gosh, do I really believe this stuff? Do I really believe what's written in Scripture? I don't remember who preached it, but it might have been Pastor Deborah, I don't remember, but they're talking about, you know, the little parable there where Jesus talks about this widow who went to this unjust judge. You remember, you know the story? And she begged him over and over, and it says that he didn't fear God and he didn't regard man, but because of her continual coming, he went ahead and granted her request. But Jesus says God is not unjust and God regards man, and will he not answer his people who cry out to him day and night speedily and give them justice? So two times last year I was like, God, give me justice. And I kid you not, within one of them was within a week and a half, and the other one was within 24 hours, I got an answer to my prayer, because God is a God who answers prayer. Now, that didn't happen because I'm a pastor or because I'm special, more special than you are. That happened just simply because, like Jabez, I took God at his word and I said, God, I'm seeking you about this issue before I turn to anybody, before I call mom and dad and I start complaining and I start griping and I start crying and everything else, before I go home and slap the kids and kick the dog. God, I'm gonna turn to you, to the God who answers prayer. Hello, somebody. I don't actually slap my kids and kick my dog, but you understand. Maybe I have once before, but anyways. More specifically tonight, let God's promises be your guide. We're talking about seeking the God who answers prayer, and specifically maybe, that we would seek God through his promises, because his promises will be our guide. Now, let me say this about Jabez. These are the only two verses in the Bible that really speak about Jabez. He's really nowhere else to be found. So we don't know a whole lot about him. But as I was studying and looking over some, you know, commentaries and different things of what people said, it seems like a few of them agree that Jabez, when he makes this prayer and he asks God for this incredible, you know, this incredible request, that he wasn't just making up, you know, his best idea. That he was actually asking according to a promise that was given to Abraham and to Moses and to Joshua. His request, God, that you would bless me, that you would enlarge my territory, that your hand, these are all things that can be found in promises given to Abraham. In fact, I wrote them down right here. Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, 12 through 21, Moses in Exodus chapter 6, 1 through 9, and Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. So he's asking God, from what we can tell, okay, he's asking God according to God's promise. He's not just making up his own idea of what he thinks will be a blessing. You follow me today? And I think it's important that we clarify that you and I should not, on our own, come to our own conclusion about what an extraordinary life looks like. But that we need to go to God's word, and we need to find out God's promises for our lives and allow those things to begin to form and to fashion dreams and visions and a path whereby we can walk it out. It's through the promises of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. I'm going to throw a couple of these at you real quick. You can just jot down the reference if you'd like and read it later. We'll have it up here. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's pretty strong, isn't it? It kind of shocks me a little bit, like, okay, time out. Let me take a time out and let me think about what I think is extraordinary. Have I really gone to God about it? How about Proverbs 19:21? It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Do you want to stand? Do you want to endure? Hello, somebody. Do you want to live a life of security? It's going to happen as you live out God's plan for your life. And the way that you're going to live out God's plan for your life is as you allow God's promises to form that plan within you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Let's go ahead and turn there. We can all turn there together, and we'll read it together here. This is just a really cool, very cool verse. A couple of verses. Again, we're talking about how to live the extraordinary life. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2, beginning with verse number 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, so let's stop right there. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied to you. Do you think grace and peace go along with an extraordinary life? I do. And how is it multiplied? What did it say? Grace and peace, I hate seeing myself. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, how do you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord? The Bible. The promises of God. Look, it goes on. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does that sound like an extraordinary life? Yes, it does. Watch what it says next. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. As we grow in our knowledge of God and as we grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden now God's power is enabled to give us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Is it really that easy, Pastor Joe? It is. It takes a little bit of discipline. But it is, if you get into the Word of God and allow the promises of God and the Word of God to begin to bring up your maturity and your understanding in the things of God, all of a sudden God's power is giving you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Let's move on. Through the knowledge of him who calls by glory and virtue. Verse number 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Does escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust sound like an extraordinary life to you? It certainly does to me. And it says the way that we get them is through the promises of God, which deliver to us God's divine nature. Wow. Well, what are we saying? That the extraordinary life happens when we allow God's promises to lead and to guide us. Amen. All right. Number 3. We got 2 more and we're going to go through these real quick. Okay, number 3 is how to live the extraordinary life. Number 3, be a doer of God's promise. So now that you've got God's promise, you're going to have to do something with it. And let me just make this statement to everybody today. Just because God promised you doesn't mean it's an automatic in your life. And I think sometimes many of us, we get tripped up right there. We think that because God said it, that means it's going to happen. No, God said it, and that means that it can happen as you are a doer of the promise. You know, you look at the life of Jabez, and I believe that Jabez understood that, you know, here his prayer is, you know, God, enlarge my territory. And I think that he understood that, God, in order for this to come to pass, I'm gonna have to be out there taking the territory that you promised. I'm not gonna do it without you. I'm gonna do it because you promised, but I'm gonna have to do something. Right? It's in the doing. It's in the obedience to God's command that all of a sudden the extraordinary begins to take place. How about Peter in the boat? Jesus, if that's you, command me to come, you know, out of the boat and I'll walk on the water. Jesus had one word, come. And that one word had enough power to defy the laws of nature so that a man walked on water. He obeyed. He did something with the promise. He didn't just hear the promise. He did something with it. All right? I was thinking, as a pastor, one of the things that we do and we get to do is we marry people. And before we marry them, we have, you know, we have premarital counseling at least a couple times before we marry them. And you know, in my almost 8 years of pastoring, there hasn't come into my office one couple that said, we don't believe it's God's will for us to get married. Every single couple, all 8 years, and they may not have said it that way, but they all believe that God was God was orchestrating this thing and bringing it together. You follow me? But if we look at statistics will say that 30 to 50% of those will fail. But I thought it was God's will. I thought God promised to all, well, God did promise to all of them. God's promise for you and for me is that we would have a successful marriage from the day we make that commitment with our spouse until the day that we die. But because God's promise doesn't mean that it's gonna happen. Husbands, you're gonna have to be doing some Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, you're gonna have to be doing some 1 Peter chapter 3. It's in the doing of the promise that God's promise becomes a reality in our lives. So be a doer of the promise. Let's move right along. Actually, James chapter 1, verse 25. I'll just read it to you real quick, and then we'll move to our last point. It says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And I believe it was Stephen Furtick who I heard said, you know, all of us are well-educated beyond our obedience. All of us are well-educated well beyond our obedience. And you know, it is time that we begin to level that out, all right? So be a doer. And finally, number four, how to live the extraordinary life. Live an honorable life. One more time, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse number 9. You just pop it up for me here or here. It says this, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother, okay, well, let's skip down to verse number 10. It says he was more honorable than his brothers. And then I like this. It says that his prayer was this, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So we find an honorable man, more honorable than his brothers, and one who had such a heart to say, you know what, God, I want you to keep me from evil so that I don't cause pain. I realize, Lord, that the decisions that I make don't just affect me, but they affect the people around me. So keep me from evil so I don't hurt other people and I don't hurt myself. I've already gone through enough of this with my mom, right? Again, he understood from an early stage and from a natural standpoint about life, all right? So God, keep me, he lived an honorable life. An extraordinary life isn't found in the accumulation of things and the attaining of great possession and notoriety. An extraordinary life is found in living honorably. Recently, I watched an interview of a congressman who's gonna retire, and I'm not gonna get into who it is because I don't want you to get political tonight, because that's not what this is about. Okay, let me be careful with this. But he's gonna retire, and he's being interviewed, and he's being asked by this person, I'm just gonna paraphrase, why are you retiring? I mean, there's many that say that you could continue doing this for a number of years more. And she's kind of asking him all these different questions about, you know, his life, what he's going to do next. And it comes to the end of the interview, and she basically asks him, so what do you feel that you've accomplished? I mean, here you've been, you believe in these different things and you fought for these different things. I mean, do you feel like you've won? And he said, you know what? I don't think that the meaning of life is to win. I think the meaning of life is really to live an honorable life. And I thought, wow, that's out of a politician's mouth. That's pretty good. But it's true. Life is not about, it's not about winning. It's not about accumulating different things. It's about living honorably. You know what? You can fill your office wall full of awards and full of accomplishments, and you've attained to this and that, and you don't live honorably, and it undercuts the whole thing. A man and a woman can only climb as high as their character. And so we need to understand that living honorably, if we're going to live an extraordinary life, it's going to require honor on your part and my part. It's going to require the fear of the Lord. It's going to require us to stay out of evil so that we don't cause harm to ourselves or the people around us. You know, I'm reminded of a couple of verses. One says, you know, it's better is a little that a righteous man has than the great wealth with the wicked. Better be a doorkeeper, in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Hello, somebody. And then finally this, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1, it says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. If you're going to live an extraordinary life, it's going to have to be an honorable life. So today, what did we gather from Jabez? All right. We gathered from him that we can live an extraordinary life when we understand that we've been called to an extraordinary life. When we understand that we need to allow God's promises to be our guide. When we understand that not only are God's promises our guide, but we need to do something about those promises. And finally, that we need to live an honorable life. If you got something good from God's word this evening, come on, let's give Jesus a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.